Well, good morning, Wave Church Norfolk and Richmond Downtown. And Wilson, you are the early bird service, and the early bird gets the word first. And so I'm speaking on the first Sunday of November, live to all of our campuses, but we do a pre-record just for you because you're at 9 a.m. and our services don't start until 10 a.m. So you'd think I'd know what time our services start, wouldn't you? That's hilarious. All right, so we're going to get into this message, and I just had to make a slight adjustment, excuse me. I want to let you know that we love you. We thank God for you. And Jared, it was so good to be with you last Sunday, baptizing Jax. Man, I love that. What an honor that was at Norfolk. And Bobby and Megan, you are crushing it. Downtown Richmond, oh my gosh, I love what God's doing down there. Let's get into the word. The theme for 2024 at Wave Church 2024, listen to me, I'm already a visionary in next year. The theme for 2023 has been taking new ground. And I believe that's what God wants us to do as a church. I believe that's what God wants us to do individually. I believe in our businesses, in our marriage, in our health, in every aspect of our life, our finances, our job, every aspect. I really believe the overarching theme that God gave me as your pastor for Wave Church was to believe God to take new ground. We've seen incredible things happen this year. Matter of fact, I think if you compare our collective campus attendance to this year to last year, we're up 16% on our attendance. So praise God for that. That's a sign we're taking new ground. We're seeing people come into the house of God. I want to give you a scripture that really lays out this thought when I felt like the Lord gave me taking new ground. It's found in Exodus chapter 23. It says, God speaking about the children of Israel and how he's going to give them the promised land, the land that flows with milk and honey. And he talks about there's enemies in there that they got to get rid of. And it says, I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you and drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites right out of your way. But listen to what he says. God's saying, I'm going to do it. I'm going to act on your behalf. I'm going to send in the hornets. I'm going to drive them out. They're going to turn their backs. And he goes, but I will not drive them out in a single year because the land will become desolate and wild animals would be too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you. Now watch, here's the key verse. Until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. God wants us to take new ground, and God is going to fight with us, and he's going to go ahead of us, and he is for us. But he goes, I'm not going to do it all at once. I can't give you everything all at once. The Bible talks about an inheritance gained too quickly can bring a man to ruins. Well, we know that when we see people win the lottery and we see they win, you know, tens of millions, even $100 million and sometimes even $1 billion. But we see 5 years later, they're broke, they're in trouble, they're depressed, they're worse off now than they were before they won all the money. Why? An inheritance gained too quickly will bring a man to ruins. God's saying, I got this promised land for you. I want to give it to you, and I won't give it to you all at once. I'll give it to you little by little until you have increased enough to take and to possess the land that I have for you. He wouldn't drive them out in a single year. He didn't want the land to become desolate. He didn't want wild beasts to overtake it, to be too numerous. He wouldn't give it to them until they had increased enough. Little by little. And I want to ask you a question. What new ground have you taken this year? In your finances, with your family, in your faith, in your fitness, in your business? What new ground is there still for you to take? It's not too late. We have November and we have December. So I want to talk to you about this idea. How do we increase? How do we take new ground? And I actually have just two simple thoughts this morning. Are you ready for this? This is going to be good. Number one, the first way I believe we take new ground is by passing God's tests. And I think that starts with just being faithful with what we have. I love the story, and of course you'd all think of the scripture in Luke, unless you're faithful with another man's, how can God, with someone else's, how can God trust you with your own? And that is a great verse, and that is all about being faithful with what is someone else's. And that's so true, being faithful in your job, being faithful in life, being faithful in not just the things that belong to you, but being trustworthy, reliable, a person of integrity. But I want to show you something in the Old Testament that I think is a really good thing for us to look at. Genesis 39, verse 2. It's speaking about Joseph. Joseph, of course, his brothers tried to kill him, put him in a pit. Then they decide to sell him off as a slave. Now he's a slave in this house. But Joseph had a dream that there was more ground. God gave him a dream that one day the sun and the moon and the stars would all bow and worship him. He would be a powerful leader in the world. Well, his dream is taking him, his dream is this way, but he's going the opposite way. And here he is now in part of his house as a slave. And of course, Joseph is so filled with this dream that you couldn't keep a good man down. It says, the Lord was with Joseph and so that he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw the Lord was with him and the Lord had given him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. He entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From time to time, it says, from that time, rather, he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, and the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. I love that, inside, outside. And listen to what it says. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. And look what the Bible says. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. I believe that's the principle. Here is Joseph. He's a slave. But God was with him, and God filled him with a dream. And Joseph was good at what he did, so much that Potiphar saw it and saw the excellence. And that's being passing the God test. I want to look at Genesis 39 because now he's thrown in a prison. Now he's no longer a slave. He's Potiphar's wife finds Joseph incredibly attractive. This is like Dirty Housewives before the movie. And she tries to have a relationship, an affair with him. He doesn't do it. He runs. She's embarrassed. She cries, hey, he tried to rape me. And now Potiphar puts him in jail. And here he is in jail. And this is the moment in prison. Genesis 39, verse 20. But while Joseph was in the prison, the Lord was with him and showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, so that the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He was responsible for all that was done there. Watch, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I think we read that and we just got to remember, he's in prison. The Lord's with him in the dark hours. The Lord was with him when he was a slave. And God can bless you. You might feel right now you're a slave. You might feel like now you're a servant, that you don't have much. But God is with you. And if you can be faithful in the season, God will promote you. And how, what does promotion look like? Others notice it. Others see that the hand of God is upon you. And they see that they end up living a blessed life. Listen to Potiphar. Everything in the house and outside in the field. Listen to the prison warden. Paid no attention to anything that Joseph was in charge of. He was that good and that reliable. He was passing the God test. Listen and think about others in the Bible. Think about David. David was looking after the sheep when they found him and anointed him to become king. He wasn't sitting there waiting for some anointing to come. He was just doing what was tasked, what was asked of him by his father. He was obedient. Think about Saul. Saul, the Bible says, the king before David, was just out looking for some donkeys, his father's donkeys. He was busy. He was passing the God test. Peter was fishing. Daniel was faithful to God under immense pressure to bow, under a king that demanded that people only pray these times, and Daniel refused and ended up in a lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, if you bow to the God that the king has made, we'll spare you. But they wouldn't do it. They said, our God is able to deliver us, and even if he doesn't, he's still God. I want to encourage you. Think about Esther. I love the story of Esther. She was faithful. The Bible says she was beautiful, and the king married her. And then she risked her own life and by going into the king uninvited. And she pleaded to the king to save the Jewish people. And I want to encourage you. You got to be faithful in what you have, and then God will give you many, many more things. You see, there are tests. I want you to look at my favorite test in the Old Testament. It's a test of Abraham. And I want you to watch this. Genesis chapter 22. And I want you to catch what's happening here. In verse, let's have a look. Verse 1. Later, God tested Abraham. He said, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, go into the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you. Early in the morning, next morning, Abraham got up, loaded the donkey. He took two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to the servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will come back to you. I love how he's talking here. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up. Father, he said. And the father goes, yes, my son. And the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb? The burnt offering. Now, Abraham knows Isaac's the lamb. And Isaac answered, listen to the answer, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Actually, son, you're it. And the Bible says here for the burnt offering, God himself will provide. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And then he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay, listen to this, his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Don't do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Wow, that's a God test. And the Bible actually says God tested him. And God said, give me your son. And I love what it says. Early the next morning, he got the donkey. He was quick to obey. I wonder if we're quick to obey when God speaks to us. You know, he said to the servant, stay here. The boy and I will go over there and we will come back. You know, the Bible says God, that Abraham even trusted that if he took his son and slayed his son, that God could raise him. Abraham had in his mind and his heart a vision of a resurrection. And it says here, Isaac said, hey, Dad, everything's here except for the sacrifice. And I love Abraham's answer. The Lord will provide. And so the Bible says he built an altar and laid his son on it. I often think we don't give Isaac some credit. It doesn't say he ran off the altar. He doesn't say, Dad, you're not tying me up. He just laid on the altar, picked up the knife, and God tested him. But let me bring you back just to Genesis 15 for something that I think is really powerful. You see, God goes into a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. This is preceding what we just read. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. This is the covenant that God made with Abraham. Of course, in the Old Testament, when you make a covenant, you get an animal, a bull, a sacrifice, and you cut it in half. And there's this half and this half. And God makes a covenant. God says, I will do this for you. I will give you a son. And look what it says here. We're going to read in verse 5. He took him outside and said, look up and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abram believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you the land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. And Abram brought all these things to him, cut them in two, this is the covenant, and arranged the two halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds came, and they came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. Here is a moment when God is making a covenant promise. Abram, I'm going to give you a son. You'll be the father of many nations. And Abram says, how can I know this? So God makes what we know today is an Abrahamic covenant. Get a heifer, cut it in two. It's a significant thing. But then these ravens, these birds come in and start eating on the carcass of what Abraham did in this covenant that God made with him. And Abraham, the Bible says, if you read it, he stayed up all night chasing away these ravens. He didn't want anything eating on the flesh, on the carcass of the promise that God gave him. You see, sometimes we got to drive away the thoughts, the ravens, the birds that want to eat away at the promise God gave us. God gave you a promise, and sometimes birds will come and try and peck and maybe diminish and make smaller the significance of the promise God gave you. Maybe your natural mind can get in the way. We got to renew our mind. You got to drive away the thoughts. You got to drive away the ravens that try to diminish and distract you from the promises of God. What about the woman who gave the alabaster oil that poured it out on Jesus' feet? She showed him that she loved him more than anything or anyone. She passed the God test. What about the widow in Luke 21? And the Bible says in Luke 21 verse 1, look at this. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had. Can I encourage you? I just believe that God wants us to take new ground. I believe God's promises and God's covenant is real. And you got to make sure that you pass that God test. You're faithful in where God has placed you and what God has put in front of you. Don't be wishing you weren't there. Be good at what you do. God will promote you. God will see to it that you will actually take your promised land, that you will take new ground. But you got to be faithful where you are. And then you got to hang on to that promise. You got to chase away the birds. You've got to be willing to obey God quickly. Get up early in the morning. Trust the Lord will provide. And then in this thought here about just the idea of giving and generosity. This woman gave more. Now, monetarily speaking, she didn't give anywhere near as much as the others. But she gave out of everything she had. There are times when I think God tests us. I think there are times when God says, hey, am I your source? Am I your provider? Where is your faith? Where is your confidence? The second way I think we're going to take new ground, this one's really important. I want you to hear this. Number one, you got to pass the God test, and God will test you. Being faithful we are, being faithful what God's given you, being faithful in your tithe, sowing into the mission and the vision of the house, being generous, making sure that we're kingdom first people. Amen. But the second one is we got to make sure that we keep thinking big. Ask of me, the Bible says. Boy, this verse is in me. Psalm 2, verse 8. Look at this verse. Ask of me, says the Lord, and I will give you the nations. It seems to me everybody else wants it. You see, Russia trying to take Ukraine. You see, China wants Taiwan. We see what's going on in and around the world. We see, you know, what's happening in the Middle East and all the conflict and all the confusion. And it seems to me there's a whole lot of people wanting to take land and territory. But God says if we ask him, the church, he'll give us the nations. It seems to me we're the only people that don't want it. God said, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is it about that thought that we have to make sure that we're big thinking? We're not just thinking about Virginia Beach. We're not just thinking about Wilson or Norfolk. We got to make sure we're thinking about the world. God wants to give us nations. And some of us are just asking God, help me get my parking spot in the mall close to the door. I want to encourage us. Let's think nations. Look what the Bible says here. Because God says ask. But James teaches us how to ask right. It says in verse 1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your own desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend it and get the pleasures that you want rather than what God wants. I want to encourage you. The Bible says we don't have because we don't ask. And then it says, and when we ask with wrong motives and wrong agendas. We're just thinking about us. And here's what God's saying. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations. And I believe, Wave Church, this is a moment for us to take new ground. I believe with all my heart, God has burdened me for the nations. And I want, in these last 2 months in Wave Church, let's ask God for the nations. Let's go to prayer about what's happening in our world today and ask God, like, just to move in a new way, and let's sow in faith and let's believe God. Let's ask God for the nations. Let's make sure that we're leaning on heaven. The Lord will provide. God wants to give us nations and we're asking for so much less. I've often said this, too many Christians, their thinking is on a contraceptive pill. They haven't given birth to a new idea in years. When was the last time we did something for God for the first time? When was the last time we really took a bold step of faith? Let me tell you what Jesus says in Matthew 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Here is Jesus telling us, come on, we got to ask. We got to knock. We got to seek. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 18. Jesus told a parable, disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared for what the people thought. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him, and it says, with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, the Bible says, he refused. And I love this here. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him, watch, day and night? Will he not keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see to it that they get justice and quickly. However, the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth when he comes? You see, I think this is telling us here about an unjust judge who is unjust, doesn't care about God, doesn't care what people think, yet for his own self-preservation, because this woman was actually refusing to give up, finally gave her what she was after because she was so persistent. It's in that context that the Bible is telling us how we're to ask of God. And God is just, and God will do more than what an unjust judge will ever do. Can we ask God for nations? Can we believe God for taking new ground? I think we think too small, amen? And so we want to take new ground before the end of the year. I've got it in my heart for nations. I'm thinking about Myanmar right now. Myanmar is just one of the most devastated places, one of the most persecuted places in the world of Christians are being killed right now is in Myanmar. I really got up my heart for Israel. We've had it in our heart for Israel for 25 years. I love Africa. And I'm asking God for the nations. Something special is brewing in Africa. We're going to talk to you about it in a couple of weeks because I believe this is a focus between now and the end of year. I also really got a heart and a burden for Russia. I love what we're doing in Russia in helping with that orphanage and just helping these children who the world would just turn its back on. And we are helping support people support this orphanage in Forminki Orphanage. And I love what God's doing. I'm asking God. Are you believing with me, church? Come on. I'm asking God for the nations. So between now and the year, end of the year, like every other year, we are believing God for a certain amount of money to achieve all the initiatives that we want to achieve here in our campuses and our enhancements and our facilities. And we're believing God in our local mission with Wave City Care and all that we do in and through Wave City Care. But we're also going beyond that in our humanitarian aid, world disaster relief. But on top of that, I'm asking God for nations. And so to fulfill our commitments by year end, we're believing God in the month of November and December for $700,000. That's to fulfill our commitments. Let me tell you, church, I'm believing we're going to go beyond that. I've got it in my heart that we're going to do something in the nations. I'm believing God for new ground. Can you say amen? Just last week I was in Norfolk with Jared and Alyssa Klingmeyer. My grandson Jax got baptized, and so I spoke in our Norfolk campuses last Sunday. And I had the privilege of baptizing along with Jared. Jared, my son-in-law, Jax, my grandson, we baptized him. Powerful. And Jared told this great story about when we built Wave Great Neck here. And we had people, some of you will remember this, in our Great Neck campus. We wrote down the names of people we were believing God for that are yet to give their life to Jesus. Jared wrote down the name Justin Ballon, and it's up in one of those steel beams. You can't see it anymore. There's all sorts of drywall, and it's been covered in fire retardant, but his name's there on the beam because we were asking God for him. And then in Seaboard Road, when we broke ground in our Seaboard Road property, we actually dug a trench, and we gave everybody a seed bag, and we wrote down the names of people that were asking God for to get saved. And Jared wrote down the same name, Justin Battle. Well, just last Sunday, now think about that. The construction of Wave Convention Center was in 07. When we did Seaboard Road, I can't even remember the date of when we did that. But I want to tell you, look at the photo up here right now. Here is last Sunday, Justin Battle, who got water baptized, given his life to Jesus. And when that happened, after we baptized him, I tell you, the man was in tears. It was such a God moment. So I'm believing God for new ground. And I want you as a church to believe with me. Between now and the end of this year, let's think big. Let's think bigger than we've ever thought before. Let's pass the God test. Can you say amen? I'm believing for souls. I'm believing for miracles. I'm believing for an increase in income. I'm believing for an influence in our city. Let me tell you what I'm believing for. Ephesians 3 verse 20, for you and for me. Now unto him who was able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think or ever imagine, according to the power that's at work within us. I'm going to close out with this scripture. Listen to this one. Isaiah 54. You might say, Steve, what is it you're believing God increase in income? Yeah, for you. I'm believing God for increase. I'm believing God for God to bring blessing. And maybe in the natural, it doesn't look like it. But can I tell you, look at the stories that I just read. Look at the covenant. Don't let the birds eat away at the carcass. Chase away the birds. Listen to this Isaiah chapter 54. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy. You were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than her who has a husband, says the Lord. Listen, enlarge, think big, the place of your tent. Listen to this, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you shall spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. Do not forget the shame of a youth or remember no more the reproach of your widow. Listen to this. We have significant plans for 2024. And can I tell you, for the next 5 years, we're believing God to take new ground. This January, Sharon and I celebrate our 25th anniversary of pastoring what we know today as Wave Church. Sharon and I this year turned 60 years of age. We celebrate this month our 40th wedding anniversary, and we're celebrating this January 25 years. Can I tell you, I believe there's new ground. I believe this is a new season. I believe this is a time for us to think bigger, to go on the aggressive, to believe God for supernatural provision. I want to take legacy to a whole nother level. I got new ground for legacy that will be unfolding in the next 5 years. I believe we're going to go further into the nations. I believe we're going to see an opportunity break open in our media, in our communication, in church health, in our global and our local community initiatives. We've got some new ground. Are you going to be with me, church? Are you believing with me in Jesus? Come on, give the Lord a hand if you are believing for new ground in your life in Jesus' name. I'm going to hand right back now to our campus pastors. Come on up, guys, and I want to encourage you to invite people to give their life to Jesus. And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about what we're doing today in Legacy. God bless you.